This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave.
Dave's not with us today. In fact, Dave is under the weather. We would really appreciate some prayers for Dave's health. But I've got Wayne with me, and today we're going to go over one-on-one meetings. Wayne, how's your week been?
It's Monday, so it's going great.
It's a good start. Everything starts with a good start, so wonderful. Wayne, do you use one-on-one meetings?
Yes, a lot.
How often do you have your one-on-one meetings?
At least weekly.
Very good. Okay.
They're not always scheduled, but anything of value to discuss in depth, usually one-on-one.
You got the crowd's approval with you. Would you believe that according to Gallup, employees who have a regular one-on-one meeting with their managers are 3 times more likely to be engaged at work?
I believe that.
If I could tell you, you could have your team 3 times more engaged than they are just by having a one-on-one meeting. Doesn't that tell you one-on-ones are so valuable?
Yeah, for sure.
It gives a lot of value to both the employee, the employer, the manager, and it even helps the overall organization. What are some of the benefits of a one-on-one?
It gives the employee value.
Absolutely does.
It gives them some skin in the game, so to speak.
Yes.
Because there's not a cloak behind which everything operates, and they're just expected. Oh, so they get a little bit of...
So true. Good point.
The other side of it.
So true.
So then they're invested, and they want to help the company, but they also want to help you because you've taken the time to help them.
Yes.
So it's just very symbiotic in that way.
Very good. Would you say it also improves the relationship between the manager and the employee?
Oh, for sure.
They get that time set aside every week or every how often, and they get to discuss things even outside of work. Just if you were met a friend every weekend for coffee, you'd start to develop a better relationship just discussing and spending time together.
Sure. Yep.
It's also a really good way for the management to get feedback on how they're doing and what's going on.
Which is so important.
Absolutely. So important. So here's an interesting question for you. What makes a good one-on-one?
I think some of the things for me that make it good are a mutual understanding of what's said in here will stay in here.
Yes. The cone of silence.
A very open dialogue.
Yes.
As long as it's respectful. When I do evaluations with my guys, I say, read it, process it. You can say whatever you want to, whether you like it, dislike it, disagree. Just be respectful and we'll talk through it.
Very good. Yeah, that's a great one-on-one. What type of questions do you ask your people in your one-on-ones?
What kind of improvements can they see in the department?
Very good.
If they have any ideas on how to improve the department, I try to encourage them to, as they have certain skills, to improve those skills. And
fantastic.
Make them useful to our department.
I want to be on your team. You do a great one-on-one. Some of the questions I have, I came up with 3 categories. I have position questions like, how do you view yourself in this role? And one thing I ask 2 people today is, draw me a pie chart of how you would spend your time if everything on your job was perfect. You've got 40 hours this week. How would you spend those 40 hours if everything was perfect? And my follow-up in that meeting is going to be, okay, how do we start moving you towards that pie chart?
That gives them focus.
Absolutely. You can ask them about their career. If you're having the best day at work you've ever had, what would your schedule look like? And what satisfaction do you get from your job? And where have you been most successful in the past?
Yeah, those will give you a lot of inside information. Because with my guys, it's not really what they say. It's how they got there.
You're absolutely right. That's beautiful. The last group I've got is long-term goals. I ask them, what are your long-term goals? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? What skills do you need to get there? And how can I help you get there?
See, we have those conversations very organically as a group. So the nature of my department, there's 1 or 2 people in there every day. And the conversation flows very freely.
That's great.
So
That sounds like an open environment.
They'll tell us or tell me where they're at, what they're thinking, and they don't say this is where I see myself in 5 years, but I can tell by the way they look at certain things and process certain things, this is kind of on the forefront of their mind.
Sure. That tells me that they have trust in you and they have confidence in you, and that's wonderful.
Hopefully they trust me.
I had a person once tell me that they wanted to be on a different team. In this case, it was a project management team. So I said, that's fantastic. Let's see what we can do. And we got this person some training in project management, and then we got them to do some small project management being observed by the project management team and slowly transitioned them into that role. So it worked great.
Yeah, I tried to do that with, you know, my group is varies in seniority from 6 years to a few months. So the process of getting them to the next level is different for each of them. But I've told them multiple times my goal is for this department to run without me. Like, at some point, people are going to retire and move on. I want to move on, but I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave the department shameless, and I don't want to leave you guys unprepared.
I see.
So just step into those roles.
That's fantastic. So I've got some tips. These are one-on-one tips for managers. And I pulled these together, and I want you to tell me if you agree with these. What I consider these are the magic bullet points that you have with your direct reports and one-on-one meetings. And the first thing is to bring a sense of curiosity and openness with you.
Agree.
The second one is to have a problem-solving attitude, but to keep it collaborative. You're not there to fix all their problems, but you're there to work with them through the problems.
Agree.
The next one is to ask questions instead of telling people what to do.
That's a big one for me.
And here's one for me. Listen more than you talk.
Mm-hmm.
I get to talk to them through the team meetings and through the huddles and everything else, and the one-on-one is their time to talk.
That's right.
And here's a good one that I don't think you have a problem with, but some may. Leave any blaming attitude out the door. The one-on-one meeting is not the place for that.
No, and you know, not all one-on-one meetings are set to a positive backdrop.
That's true.
So generally, I take the position of, this is what happened. This is what I know of it. I don't understand how this happened. Can you please explain it to me?
That's good. And I've found something that you have discovered as well. The way you phrase that is so important. If I ask an employee, or let's say I ask anyone, why did you do this? They're going to dig in. And they're going to be combative, and they're going to fight me on that. But if I phrase the same question a little different, and how did we determine this was the best way to handle it? Then they'll walk me through their mental process of how they got there. And that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
So here is something interesting. This is 4 practices if you want to have bad one-on-one meetings. We get to use this that once. Dave's not here. We miss you, Dave. We don't have the funny. So the first bad practice for one-on-one meetings is using one-on-ones as a status update meeting where you click through all their statuses. You agree or disagree?
Agree.
The second bad practice for one-on-one meetings is skipping meetings and just blowing them off.
Yeah, that's awful because bad precedent.
It really is. If you don't take it seriously as a manager, no one's going to take it seriously. The third is very similar to that. It's where you have infrequent one-on-ones. You may meet once a week, once or 2 weeks, then it may become once every 6 weeks or just whenever you get around to it.
Agree. One of the things I try really hard at my one-on-ones is I'm trying to get my guys to a point where when I say come to my office, they don't automatically have the sense of dread.
That's great.
Because it could be, it's not usually anything bad.
Oh, man. Mr. Hunter called me to his office. Nice knowing you, bud. And the last one is lacking clarity, because great one-on-ones don't just happen. There's some prep work that has to go on before that. And it means on your part and on the employee's part, they need to understand how one-on-one works and why they're essential.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some Bible verses that I found that can relate to one-on-one. The first was a great one, Proverbs 27:17, one of my favorites. As one piece of iron sharpens another, so friends keep each other sharp. Isn't that a great verse?
Huge verse.
The next is Proverbs, again, Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And that's our job. Employees can fall. We're there to keep them safe and make sure they know what they're doing.
That's right.
And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. And that's one of the big jobs of any type of leadership is encouragement.
Yeah, because the people that work for you, they're people. They're not robots.
You're exactly right. And they have a life outside of work, and work at times may not be the most important thing in the world to them.
No.
So here's the questions I have on my one-on-one meetings, and I jotted these down. I try to take half an hour every week for my direct reports. Occasionally, I'll do skip-level reports for the people that report to some of my reports, but that's not a regularly scheduled thing. But for the first 5 minutes, I just try to catch up in their life. I want to know what's going on with them outside of work. What are their hobbies? What are their passions? What interests them? It gives me a little bit to know a little more about them and see them as a person instead of just a resource at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do the same thing.
I do.
The second is kudos. What are your wins since the last week? And wins are loosely defined. It could be I met this objective or this terrible problem I found a solution to. Just tell me something good you've done since last week.
Yeah, how are you engaged?
Very good. The next one's an important one. What are your top priorities this week? What are your big rocks if you're a fan of Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits? What things do you have to do this week?
I ask my guys every day.
Very good. Are you a fan of the 7 Habits from Stephen Covey?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of them, but I really like them.
There we go. So the next I got, and I've got 10, this is number 4. What are your long-term goals and how can I help you achieve them? And we discussed that before when someone wanted to be on a different team. And to be honest, even though they're doing a great job, if they're not happy, I would rather have them happy. And I want someone on my team who wants to be there.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting one. And this applies, I guess it can apply to any size organization, but specifically large organizations. Do you have any questions for me? Or have you heard any rumors you would like to discuss?
Okay.
Because I am completely open and upfront, and if I can't tell them an answer, I'll say, I can't tell you that. And that's rare, but usually I'll say, this is exactly what I know, and once they hear it from me or from any authority figure, it does a better job, and it cuts down on the rumors.
Which is big.
Yes. Rumors fly. Boy, they really do. Number 6 and number 7 go hand in hand. Number 6 is, what are the statuses of your last action items? And number 7 is, what are your action items this week? And that's where I suggest they make out, if they haven't, a pie chart that looks like where their time would be spent. So they've got a week to do that, and then next week we'll start working on how to get you there. Number 8 is, how are you tracking this past week? Are there any blockers I can help remove? Is there anything I can do, in other words, to help you get through what you need to do? Because sometimes there are, and they don't mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 is the most important one that I ask, and it's on a scale of 1 to 10. How happy are you with your work-life balance, and how can I help you get closer to a 10? And I'll tell you, I had 2 of these today, and 1 was a 9, and 1 was a 9.9, so I'm very happy with that. Clearly, we still got a little bit to go. What are things you do to help your people with their work-life balance?
Just asking them about their life. I've got people, some of my in my group have kids, some of them are married, some of them have some medical issues, and I try to make any changes that I can in the department specific to them, to help them.
That's
awesome.
I
try to create a team atmosphere so that they want to try to help one another.
That's a great answer. Fantastic. Feel like I need to be writing that down, so I'm going to go back through the transcript of this one and get that information. That's great. So now we're up to number 10. I'm going to build a little drama for this one. This is the last question I always ask. And if there is one thing I can do differently to help you more, what would that be? And sometimes I get great answers and sometimes I don't get any answers at all. And usually it's something that I've overlooked or a bad assumption I've made, but this keeps me on track. This keeps me honest. This shows me that there's things going on I need to be a little more aware of.
Yeah. And a lot of these conversations that you talk about having on your one-on-one meetings weekly, where my department meets in person,
mm-hmm.
I can ask them offhanded every day.
Very good. And that's an important distinction. My team is completely remote since COVID. And I don't get, the only time I get to see face-to-face is when we do Zoom meetings. Other than that, we just meet online and I hear the voices, but I don't see the face. And that's a big difference.
Huge.
Okay. That's all for one-on-one meetings. Wayne, do you have anything else you want to add?
I do not.
Visit us on lead1212.com. And remember, please pray for Dave. Thanks, everyone.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.